I know these are prayer requests here that we put in at the beginning of the year, something for us personally and something that we're else that we're believing God for, and we keep praying every Sunday for them. Father, we pray, Lord God, a mighty move of your Spirit upon this, Lord, upon them. Father, you draw them, Lord God. Lord, the ones that need a healing, the ones that need salvation, Lord God. Father, we believe your word and we stand upon it, Lord God. And we thank you for a mighty move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know the one that we pray for, that Savan family. I know Susan was telling me, the lady, she lost her son this last weekend. Her only son, from what I understood, in an accident. It was an accident, you know, on the road. But she was able to minister to her. That's amazing. That's what we do. We minister hope in Jesus Christ to people because he's the only hope. And so she was able to minister to her. So that's a great thing. Praise God. If you would take your books, Breadcrumbs book, and as we read June 28th, it says, The Lonely Road. And the scripture is Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And this is what it says. It says, The Christian experience is the most wonderful experience afforded to a human being. But as Christians, we must also prepare ourselves for difficult times. The Bible tells us that we must endure the trial of our faith. To think that these times will never occur is not a reasonable expectation. To believe that every day will bring forth a heinous trial is not faith. Our hearts must be prepared for a balance of experiences. We must each walk this pathway in solitude, for it is our faith alone that is truly our own trial. Satan is not after so much your body, your money, your house, your job, or your health. He has designs on your faith. Not that he didn't try to do those things, but he has designs on your faith. If he can destroy your faith, he can gain your soul. Weary Christians know that the road may be long and difficult. At times, it may seem impossible to traverse, but it is in these desolate times where one often obtains intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. He too walked many a lonely road, and he knows our limitations. He is the only one we can thoroughly lean on. And while the circumstance faced is certainly unlovely, fellowshiped with Christ during these times on our lonely road is most glorious. March on. March on, people. No matter what, even through the difficult times, we march on. Even though the trial of our faith may come, we march on no matter what. No matter what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. Because we don't want our faith to erode. We want our faith to be solid in Christ and Christ alone. If you would, take your Bibles and let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure hope everybody had a great Father's Day last Sunday. I hope you enjoyed the caps. I almost said baseball caps, but whatever caps. Faith in our God, you know. Just I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you use it. And let it be a blessing to you. This Saturday marks 250 years of our great country, people. Can you imagine 250 years? It's hard for me to even think that we weren't here 250 years ago. You know what I'm saying? As a country. But July 4th is coming around, and that's this Saturday. which marks 250 years of our great country, the United States of America. You know, the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. And when they signed the Declaration, under British law, this was considered treason. Now, let me tell you what treason is. It's a crime of betraying one's country by attempting to overthrow its government or material, aiding its enemies. So they could have lost everything, but they did it because they knew that they needed liberty and freedom under their God, which was our Lord and Savior. So they signed that Declaration of Independence. It says, Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall hang separately." And he made it as a joke unto all of them. But he was almost serious, because it was a treason against the British Empire. You know, I know, you know, we've come so far from maybe leaving God to certain aspects in daily life. But I tell you what, people, we don't realize how blessed we are and how great of a country we have in America. You know, anybody ever heard of the FIFA soccer tournament that's going on worldwide? They call it football in Europe, but it's, you know, your football, you don't think of soccer. Between 5 and 7 million people, and it's going on right now, are going to come from other countries to America. And I was listening as they were interviewing these people. And they were saying how great America is. They were saying how great it is to go into stores like Walmart and to have everything you need under one roof. I mean, it's just, they said one of the greatest things they ever did was go to a Bass Pro Shop. See, we laugh at those things because it's customary for us. You know, we've been to the biggest Bass Pro Shop ever. It's, and I know a few other, it's huge with everything in there. It's not just the stores, museums and restaurants and stores and just all kinds of stuff. But as they interviewed these people, they said, Americans are so polite. Wow. They said, Americans are so welcoming. Wow. Americans are so honest and help. You see, sometimes we get the miss, you know, they hear the news and, you know, the news media is not the best of its bias. And they say certain things that just basically are not true, people. We don't realize how great we have it in this country. Till someday it could be taken away, maybe. And so, you know, it's coming up July the 4th, 250 years. Let's celebrate. Thank God. Say a little prayer for our country, that God would help our president, that God would help our country to keep his hands upon it. You know, the greatest export that we have is the Bible, people. We print more Bibles than any other country in all the world. And I tell you, it's our greatest export throughout the world, the Word of God. Many men and women have given their lives for our country. Let's be proud of America. Let's be proud of the things that God has bestowed upon us. Yes, there may be things that are wrong. Look, let me tell you, but what's wrong here, you can magnify that by 20, 30 times in other countries. Because God is not present there. We have a foundation of God in our country. So thank God for that. Many men and women have died for our country, have given up their lives. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3, please. Page 2172. 2172. That was just kind of an opener there, just to kind of keep us on track. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, therefore perceive we the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Mm. Here we see Jesus, and we know Jesus died for us, people. They didn't take his life. He didn't commit suicide like some preachers are saying. So sad. But he laid down his life so that we, you and I, could have life today. So we could experience the Holy Spirit coming over us and breathing and giving us life. So we could have the Holy Spirit with us. God in the flesh walked upon the earth through Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, is now here in us and through us, working in our hearts and lives. Jesus laid down his life on Calvary's cross so that we could be free from the penalty of sin, so we could be free from the shackles of sin. That as we keep our faith and our trust in him, that he will break those things off of our lives that need to be broken off of us as he tries to mold and make us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 26:53 that as Jesus was being arrested, it says that he could have called thousands of angels. It says legions. Legions. Legion is 1,000 or so of angels. It really calculates up to, because he talks about legion, calculates up to about 72,000, if you want to put it that way. Can you imagine? He could have. Where would we be without Jesus Christ dying upon Calvary's cross? And not just dying, but being risen from the grave and giving of his life for us. Where would we be? You see, that's the kind of hope we give to people. As you talk with people, and look, people are going through some hard times. Even Christians are going through some hard times, physically, spiritually, where they need a touch from God. And God wants to use each and every one of us as we pray with people, as we give them hope, as we tell them there is a hope in Christ. That he can liberate us. He can give us life that we need upon this earth to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Can you imagine Jesus laid down his life just like those signers of the Constitution laid down their lives in treason, saying it didn't matter. You see, they knew what they came from, the tyranny, and they were not going back to that. You see, we know what we've come from. Probably every one of you, I could ask you, when you got saved, you could probably tell me the date, the day. You probably can tell me where you got saved. Most of you could tell me the time almost. You see, and we know this, we're not going back to the things of the old, but we're going to look forward to the new and what God has intended for his people to live by. My Lord, he gives us a hope. He gives us something to hope in, and that's him. And we know the great hope. He's coming back for his church. But I tell you what, before he comes back, he wants us to live life to the fullest that we can live according to his will and what he has done in our hearts and in our lives. He could have called 10,000s of angels, but he didn't. You know what kept him on the cross? And I know we've heard this. His love for you and I. I can tell you that God loves you, and I can tell even myself, you know, God loves me, Jesus loves me, but we still can't comprehend it. How can a God love a people that have betrayed him? How can a God love a people that has cursed at him? How can God love a people that has turned their back and said, we don't want you anymore? How can he love a people that have raised their fist towards him and said, who you think you are, and cursing him? Now, you might say, well, I never did all that. Well, you know, well, we rebelled against God. You know, some of us did, some of us didn't. But you see, he still loved us. Because you see, God the Father loves us, God the Son loves us, and God the Holy Spirit, my Lord. And he's looking to do a mighty work in the hearts and lives of the people. I know you've heard this song, but I want to tell the story of it. The name of the song basically is 40 Brave Soldiers for Christ. It's an old, old song. If you want to listen to some old songs, go to KJM. And not that, you know, it's just older. Some, they have a lot of new, too. I'm not trying to, but they have some of the older ones that we kind of heard of a long time ago. And it's like, oh, I forgot about that song. Mm. And the other stations are good, but I mean, you know, just they don't have like the old ones. In 320 AD, which is a long, long time ago, the Roman soldiers were told that they would have to sacrifice to pagan gods and renounce their Christian faith. It was a Roman army, but they had, if you want to say, Christians that were in there. They had about 40 Christians that were soldiers. And when the order came down that they had to sacrifice to the pagan god given by the emperor, the first thing they thought of was, there's no way. Even the other soldiers that were not Christians knew that these 40 soldiers that were Christians, you know, Christian means what? Christ-like, would not bow and sacrifice to a pagan god because of their relationship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Their faith was in Christ and what he could do for them, and they would not sacrifice to the pagan god. But the governor ordered that all Christian soldiers had to be stripped naked. Because they did not do it, he ordered them to be stripped naked and to be put on, it was very cold outside. It was basically Serbia or Turkey. They were shipped to this island, basically, and they had to stand there. Now, you might say, well, you know, all they had to do was just, you know, sacrifice to this god, and then maybe they could go and repent and ask God to forgive them. But you see, they had a relationship to the King of Kings. You see, we can't play the fence, people. Don't shout me down now. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot with God. You can't do it. You'll never be happy. You won't be happy. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do things, you know, whatever. I'm not saying don't do things. What I'm saying is you can't have allegiance to one and allegiance to another at the same time. These 40 soldiers, because they would not bow or they would not give sacrifices to the pagan gods, the emperor, they had them stripped down and brought to this island where it was freezing cold. You see, the enemy will try to break your faith in Christ. He will do everything he can to wreck your faith. See, we can go through something maybe physically, you know, that hurts our bodies, but our faith is still strong. But if he can wreck our faith in Christ, he has our soul. Whew. And you see, we don't want him to have our soul. Our soul goes to him. As they are out there, stripped of their clothes, freezing, hands tied down together, they had a bathhouse not far from where they were that was warm. See, that's just like the enemy. He tries to tear you down wherever capacity or whatever way he can. No matter what, he'll do whatever he, try to do whatever he can. He'll put temptation in front of you. He'll do whatever he can so that we take our eyes off of Christ. See, that's what Peter got in trouble in. When he took his eyes off of Christ and he looked to the waves, it got him in trouble. As they're standing upon that island and they have guards all the way around watching them, they're cold and they're wondering, how can they stay out here hour after hour singing praises unto their God? How can they stand here and do that? You see, when God does something in the hearts and lives of a believer, my Lord, when he saves their soul, we have something to shout about. We have something, we have someone to praise. We have someone to honor. And that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They were not going to turn their backs on him. As midnight came, it got darker and darker. It got colder and colder. Shivering. You know, let's face it, we're all adults in here. Just being stripped of your clothes is bad enough, huh? Isn't that bad enough? But you see, they kept praising their God. And at first they were loud and it got dull. And that's just like the enemy. When you and I are going through something, we still praise him. And then it all of a sudden, it's like the force of the evil one. It's like it just tries to drown out your praise. I understand that. All of a sudden, in the midnight hours, there were 40 out there. There was one that started to run for the bathhouse. Instead of 40, there were only 39 standing there. And he ran to that bathhouse and he opened it up. It felt so good. But because he had been out there for so long and was freezing, the minute he walked in and touched the water, it killed him. Look, I'm going to tell you this. The enemy will dangle things in front of you to grab it. But I tell you what, it's like an apple with a worm in it. Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't take it. Submit yourself to God. And all of a sudden, they were down to 39 and they kept singing. 39 brave soldiers for Christ. Then it says something happened. Aglaios the jailer. You probably heard this song, you know. The one that took care of them for 1 week or so saw their faith. And he was one that was ready to kill them. But he saw something in him, them. He saw their honor, their devotion to their God. And he starts to strip off his armor. And he runs to the ice and stands there. And they start singing back up. 40 grave soldiers for Christ. Come, people. Look. We need devotion to him like never before. We need to sell out to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I tell you what, I'll do it. Whatever. To be submitted to the will of the Father. You know, the next morning, and you would think God would have miraculously saved their souls or delivered them out of that, huh? For some reason, God did it, didn't. And the next morning, they were all dead. You see, well, you know, we often think as Christians, well, if I do this, God has to do this. What? He's the King of Kings. And let me tell you this, we don't give orders to God. We can believe his word, But we don't give orders to him and tell him, this is what you do. Sometimes I hear Christians praying. I'm going, oh, Lord, I don't want to be around them. Such disrespect for the King of Kings. Now, God says, hey, honor his word and believe his word. And God has given us a sword, this word of God. It says it cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's what it does, people. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to read your Bible. You know, it's really been in ministry a long time, people, long time. And I never seen such disrespect for the word of God. I mean, it's bad. When you have most Christians, I'm telling you, we did a poll today, not here, because I tell you to bring your Bible. But I tell you, you'd walk in any church, I'm telling you, most of them wouldn't have a Bible. Oh, they put it on the big TV thing, you know, and that's good. But bring your Bible. We need to know that word and get it in our spirits, get it in our hearts, because that is life and fuel for our souls. But those 40 men, counting Aglaios the jailer, gave their lives for the king. They were willing to stand up and do what was right. And honestly, probably if all 40 of them would have went and sacrificed to the pagan god, they would have lived probably many years longer, but they would have been sad. They wouldn't have saw the power of God. They wouldn't have felt the presence of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's why we got to stand up for things that are true and right. Our relationship, you know, look at yourself. How is your relationship to him? How's your relationship to him? You know, you might say, well, you know, pastor, no, I'm talking about your relation to him, not my relation to him. Look at your own self. That's all. I don't want you to look at nobody else. What's the relationship? You might say, well, I'd like it to be a little deeper. Well, make it deeper. You know, I mean, hey, only you can do it with him. It says, it's call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. He just didn't say great. He said mighty things.